Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us.
Four verses of Joshua chapter 1. The title of the message today is... It's a dependence on God's strength. Joshua chapter 1, we'll start reading from verses 9 all the way through, verses 6 all the way to verse 9. All right, the Bible says, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shalt not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and commit this time to Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us in your house today. Thank you for your love for us and your goodness, and your daily provision. I pray now that as we study your word, Lord, and I pray that you would fill us with your spirit and change us into what you want us to be, Lord. And that we would apply these truths in our lives. Be with us now. In your name I pray. Amen. See, in Joshua chapter 1, in this time, the children of Israel is transitioning to a new leader. You know, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, as you would read in the Exodus, in the book of Exodus, you've been wandering for 40 years, but God has finally brought his people to the promised land. But this time, Moses was gone. There arise a new leader. And a new leader and a new change, new transition can bring a lot of worry, can bring a lot of fear. And I can understand that from my own personal life. You see, I was born in the Philippines, and I left the country when I was 6. And my parents worked overseas, and we lived in Dubai for 5 years until I was 11, and I moved here in Canada. And so during those times of change, during times of transition, there was a lot of fear and doubt and worry in my family and my personal life as well. You know, will I have the same kind of friends? Will I have the same kind of environment that I'm used to? So there's a lot of uncertainty at this time. And the same thing that's going on to the people of Israel right now at this time. They were entering this new territory, having this new leader. But God here speaks to Joshua to encourage him, to empower him, and as they embark on this great challenge of capturing the land that is theirs. You know, when we think of Joshua, what do we think of? We think of someone who is brave, who is courageous, who is a strong individual that God used to accomplish victory. But everything in his life that he accomplished was impossible without his example of his dependence on God, without him surrendering to God's strength, without him trusting on his own abilities. And that's what we'll examine today. You see, our strength doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from anything else or anyone else but from God. And so this message or this sermon today is about our dependence on God's strength. And we'll examine that. Now, dependence is, Oxford Dictionary defines it as a state of relying or being controlled by someone or something else. Now, if you've gone to the gym before, I know it doesn't look like I have, but I have been. You know, food has been really good out here in New Brunswick. So I put on a few pounds. But before, when I used to go to the gym with my siblings and with my friends, you know, we would try to lift the heaviest weight that we could possibly lift. You know, we try to push ourselves to the limit. And usually when you do that, you have a spotter. You had someone there behind you So if you fail, you have someone to rescue you and to lift that weight off of you. You see, you're in a state of reliance out of desperation, and you have to give control to that person who is there to help you out. And that's exactly what we're going to examine today. You know, lifting those which are weighing us down, you know, those problems that we have in our lives, those worries and those fears that discourage us, that brings us down. And instead of trying to lift it ourselves, but instead of doing that, we need to cast it to the Lord, to give it over to Him, to trust on His strength and His power to deliver us through. And so today we'll examine three truths on how we can receive that promise, the promise of strength, and examine our hearts regarding our dependence on God. So the first thing is the reality of our dependence. You see, every one of us relies on something or someone. That may be yourself, that may be a family member or a friend or your past experiences, your own abilities, your own strengths. You rely on something. And there's two things that we're going to look at. There's two strengths that we know that we'll examine. First thing is the strength from the world, or strength from within. You know, the world tells us to trust yourself. You know, you put a lot of emphasis on you. And if you take that phrase that we read in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, you know, we can put that on a post somewhere, and you can put that on, you can put that up in your house, and it's very encouraging. But more times than not, that motivational quote, if you take that phrase alone, it's focusing on your own strength, focusing on your own abilities. And that's a big misconception that people today have put their trust in, to trust on their own strength. There's a saying to just tough it out, to just persevere, to push past an obstacle. But you know what? That type of mentality is very prideful. You're trusting on your own strength. You're trusting on your own ability instead of trusting God. Proverbs 14:12 tells us here, if you can read that, sorry, I should have enlarged that verse. It says, there is a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is, again, misconstrued in society today. If you know basketball at all or sports, Stephen Curry used this verse on his shoes. But what he would do is he can put, I can do all things, dot, dot, dot. And he leaves off, through Christ which strengthens him. And they've used that to advertise that, you know, I'm a great person. I can accomplish anything if I believe in myself. But what do we see time and time and again in our lives when we trust on our own strength, when we trust on what I can do or what I could do before, you know, I could accomplish it again? We just see ourselves fail. We see disappointment. But when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, on God Himself, you know, we see victories in our lives. We see blessings. We see ourselves prosper. Now, for me, my story is I went to Bible college for 1 year, and I had a lot of doubts. I knew God wanted me in ministry. I know God wanted me to serve in whatever capacity He wants me to. But there was a small whisper and a small voice in my head that's kind of whispered some doubts and fears. You know, are you going to be successful in life? Are you going to have enough money? Or are you going to have enough, you know, are you going to be able to support your family if you go to this route? So instead of finishing my 4-year degree, I know I took a detour. I took 3 years of engineering, trying to figure out my life and trying to find that success. But you know what? Through God's word and through advice of my parents, advice of my pastors, they showed me that I was being too prideful. I was trusting on my own strength and trusting on my abilities instead of giving my life to God, instead of Him relying on His direction, relying on His provision for my life. You know, we must be cautious in not falling into that dangerous state of looking inward, looking into ourselves. But instead, we have to look up. We need to look at God, who is in charge of everything in this world, who has created each and every one of us. You know, He knows our wants, He knows our needs, and He will supply those as He promised in His word. So rather than trying to figure out life out of our own strength, we need to surrender our lives to God and let Him take care of it. And that is the biblical view of strength, is trusting God. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says there, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You see, we don't need to fear. As children of God, He is always with us. He is always supplying our needs. He will always strengthen us and help us and uphold us. John 15, verses 4 and 5 really shows how the biblical way of finding strength. Jesus Christ Himself says this, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, that the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." You see, when we think of strength, we think of empowering yourself. But instead, the Bible teaches us to rely on God, to reach out to Him, to call upon Him, to ask Jesus Christ for strength, to rely on His mighty power. See, we can be strong and courageous in the Lord if we depend on His will, if we depend on Him alone. Our dependence really is a result of our obedience to Him, you know, obedience to His word and to His will. And to be strong in the Lord really is to be weak in ourselves. By that, I mean, we recognize that in and of ourselves, we are frail. We are bound to fail. You know, we are sinful creatures who deserve to go to hell. But Jesus Christ gave us that the promise of eternal life, that when we call on Him, that we put our faith and trust in Him, that we will receive that promise, that we will receive that gift of eternal life. So what is our excuse? It would be foolish for us not to trust Him, because He has given everything that we need. See, God never leaves us empty-handed. He doesn't leave us to live this life with no direction, with no instruction. He has given us His word. He has given us His commandments to us and how we should live our lives. And in verse 8, He provides the means of how we can receive this power and strength. So how can we receive His strength? The second point is the requirements to receive God's strength. In verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know, the first thing that we should do to receive God's strength is to meditate on His word. See, the power isn't from yourself. The power isn't from your pastors. Your power isn't from your godly leaders. No, it's not from man. It's from God Himself. It's from His word. And we ought to meditate in His word, as it says there, day and night. You know, if you search up meditation on Google, what is the first thing you would see is being one with nature or being one with yourself. You know, that meditation, that yoga wackiness that people practice nowadays. And really, that's focusing on your own selves. Once again, focusing on your mind, focusing on how you can go through your problems, how you can overcome anything. But God challenges here to meditate on His word. And that meditate is not just, you know, wake up in the morning and open your Bible and read a verse or read a chapter and just close it and go about your day as if it didn't change you. You know, meditation means to mull it over, to reflect, to ponder, to dwell on it, so that when you get up in the morning and read it, it's reflecting back in your mind as the day goes by. You know, you are thinking about God's word. You are speaking to Him. You are praising Him. You are glorifying Him in everything that you do and say. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, many of you know that. Maybe memorize it during Sunday school as well. It says there, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know, at the end of verse 8, we have that promise that God will make our way prosperous. We will see good success, and we will live a prosperous life if we cling on to him, if we meditate on his word. And once again, in Psalm chapter 1, reminds us here the reward of meditating on God's word. You are like a tree. You are a channel of blessing. You are no longer just glorifying God in yourself, but you are causing others to worship him as well. You are causing others to come to Christ and to receive that gift of eternal life as you have enjoyed and received. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 also says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." See, the work of studying God's word, the work of seeking his word and seeking the principles that's found in this book is not just the job of your Sunday school teacher. It's not just the job of your pastor. It's not just the job of an evangelist. It's each and every one of us. You know, God has given us that commandment to meditate and to read faithfully and to have that willingness to and that craving to receive the word of God. And that's not just evident in, you know, you're in church today and that's an example of you showing that you are craving God's word. But it shouldn't just be on a Sunday. It shouldn't just be on a Wednesday. It should be a daily task that we do and daily responsibility that we fulfill. Now, once again, I go back to an illustration by going to the gym. You know, muscles aren't just, they aren't created or developed by going to the gym once or going to the gym every once in a while. No, but you have to be daily, you have to be consistent. You have to be going there over and over again, no matter how much it hurts. Obviously, you need to rest. But to break down the tissues and to turn those fats into muscles, you have to be consistent. And that's the same way with our spiritual lives. You know, you won't grow into what God wants you to be, and you won't grow in your walk with God if you just read your Bible every once in a while or once a day and not even consider it for the rest of the week. You know, when we depend on ourselves less, our faith and dependence on God really increases. And we see a change in our life and in the future. So a requirement to receive God's strength is to meditate on his word, but another requirement is to be faithful in the work of God. See, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk all in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." You see, when you love someone, you show it, and you don't just say it. To prove that you love someone, it's through your actions, not just your words. And so it's important for us to receive God's strength to not just be evident in the way we talk and the way we act in church, but also in everything that we do. With John chapter 9, verse 10, this should be our desire for each and every Christian. It says here, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And that's Jesus Christ himself showing humbleness, showing surrender. You know, God wants you to be faithful in his work. God doesn't want you to be a dead Christian who just fill up the pews and who just sing the songs and not have effect in your life. You know, it's great to be around Christian folks. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. I got saved when I was 8 years old, 9 years old. And so I received that blessing of being around good Christian people, good Christian friends and family. But it's very easy to be callous when you're always surrounded by Christians. and you're always faithful. You know, you may be faithful in church, but it's very easy then to live a different life outside of church. And that's something that we have to be careful of, that our lives reflect not just when we come to church, but everything else in our lives must be under the subjection of the Word of God. You know, everything that we do and say must glorify Him. And we don't want to live a life of hypocrisy, of saying one thing and doing the other. You know, our desire must be to serve God and His Word. You know, dependence on God begins with meditation on His Word, but as we let His Word speak to our lives, and as we let it work in our hearts, you know, it shows to our actions. It shows to our faithfulness in His work. And today, you are exemplifying that. You are showing that through coming to church this morning and through being faithful in your place. But I challenge you to take a step further, to be involved in outreach, to be involved in whatever you can help to grow this ministry and to be a faithful follower of Christ, to be a faithful witness in the world. You know, because when we do that, when we are faithful to Him and faithful in our work and reading His Word, meditating on it, we have that promise that our lives will be prosperous and our lives would be successful. And that's what I want to focus on lastly, is the rewards of depending on God. You see, in verse 9, Bible says here, Joshua 1:9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." See, this phrase, "be strong and of a good courage," this is the fourth time that God has commanded and instructed Joshua that command. You know, what I learned in Bible college is that repetition really reveals a foundational truth. And we see that phrase in the Bible 25 times. And if you have children, and I was a child, and so my parents, I know that when they repeat themselves more than once or twice, man, am I in trouble. And so we see here that God, you know, God had to repeat Himself once, twice, three times, four times, maybe more, because He knows the hearts of the people. He knows that there is worry. He knows that there is fear in the children of Israel, the children of Israel's hearts. And so He wants to encourage them and still wants to challenge them to trust on Him. You know, when God tells us something, we ought to listen. And as children of God, we have no reason to be afraid. We have no reason to be disappointed and to be distressed, because we know who's in control, and that is God Himself. He promises there in verse 9, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." And His first promise is a promise of direction. He directs us. So I think that's flipped. I think the first thing is a promise of protection. He protects us. And so there's no reason for us to fear. There's no reason for us to worry, because His hand of protection is always around us. You know, Romans 8:28 tells us here, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." You know, everything that happens in your life is a reason. You know, we go through different valleys. We go through the ups and downs. You know, sometimes we feel that God is blessing us, and other times we feel that God is chastising us. But you know what? In every circumstance that you face in your life, God has a purpose in it all. You know, God may be in the times of trials, He's trying to develop you into Christian and to be stronger in your faith. And when you're experiencing a spiritual victory, enjoy that and praise Him for that, and not think that you could accomplish that in it of yourself. You see, 1 Peter 5:7 is really the attitude that we need to have. It's to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Not only does He protect us, but He also gives a promise of direction. It says at the last part of the verse, "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now, Hebrews 13:5 tells us this, "Lest your conversations be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, life is challenging, and there's a lot of uncertainty now, you know, especially with our country, the government. A lot of us may have not liked the result of the election, and so whatever happens here in this town or in this country, we know that God is in control. We know that God is the one that will guide us to prosper and to be successful. You know, no matter where we are, no matter the circumstance that we face, and no matter that whatever lies ahead of us, we can put our full confidence that God will always guide us and God will always protect us. You know, Charles Spurgeon says this, "No dependence can be placed upon our natural qualities or our spiritual attainments. But God abideth faithful. He is faithful in His love. He knows no variableness, neither shadow of turning." See, when we depend on our own selves, we will always find failure. We will always find disappointment. But when we depend on God, you know, we receive this promise of protection, that whatever happens in our lives, that He will deliver us through. And also promises this, that He would direct and guide us. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 tells us, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths." And so it's important for us to share and to praise Him for everything that He has done. Acknowledge that He is the Lord, the Lord that guides us, the Lord that is in control. And we can rely, we can rest assured that our paths will be straight and our paths will be right when we put our faith in Him. So today I want us to examine, really, where do we put our faith and dependence on? Are you putting it on yourself? Are you putting it on your abilities, on your skills? You know, God has blessed us with different abilities and different talents. But if we rely on that to live our lives and to go through different problems and issues, we will always find disappointment. But when we put our full dependence on God, we will find blessing. We will find victory. As we see in the book of in Joshua, you know, when they trusted God, the walls of Jericho came down. When they trusted God, they defeated the giants and they conquered and received and was able to enter the promised land. That's not from Joshua's strength alone. That's not from his army. That's not from the children of Israel and their own abilities and talents. No, that's from depending on God Himself. That's from putting that's from surrendering to His will. So today, how is your dependence on God? Are you trusting on your own strength? Are you trusting on God's grace and mercy to deliver you through? May I urge you to cast your cares upon Him and to depend on His power daily. Because you know what? If you do that, you will find no disappointment. You will always be encouraged when you give everything to the Lord and let Him work through you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of His word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.